And good morning. Thanks so much, JP. I appreciate you introducing me like that. Well, I communicated with JP and said, okay, here's what's going on. The pre-recorded program, in case there's a reason why I can't be here, is kind of bleeding through and I can't take phone calls, but I think it's been fixed, and in a way, I'm kind of anxious to try out the phone lines to see if it works. This program is called Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan. I am really glad to be here. And you know what? I'm completely in charge of the topic. Whatever I want to talk about, they let me talk about. Now, obviously, I'm trying to choose topics that are really, really good, that would benefit people, at least in my mind. And I guarantee you, even if I do this for 100 years, I'm never running out of information. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. Appreciate your program so much. And
well,
I've got
you're
a
so
problem.
Welcome. Yes, ma'am.
Well, thanks. I've got a problem I've noticed for the last several weeks of my hair thinning. It's not coming out in big swatches or anything like that, but it's definitely thinning. I'm getting a lot more hair in my brush, things like that. I had COVID the end of June and into July, a pretty bad case, and I have read that that can be a side effect. I call it COVID leftovers of things I've had since then.
That doesn't sound too fun.
No, it's not. It's not. But I wanted to see if you had any suggestions of anything I could take or do. Just needed your help.
I'm going to ask you a very detailed question. What time of the year do you see all the new growth of plants and leaves on trees?
In the spring.
That's it. And so that's my analogy, but your hair is exactly the same way. And I know it's a loose analogy or description, but there's a time during the year that your hair follicles, they really, really grow a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's also, just like the fall, there's a time where the hair kind of stops growing and it kind of reaches the end of its life cycle. And the hair, the strand of hair falls out. But then again, the hair follicle, it's supposed to do what God designed to do. It's supposed to start the process of growing a new strand of hair. And so there is a condition called telogen effluvium. I don't expect you've heard of it.
No, I haven't. I wouldn't even know how to spell that one.
Well, then good. I'm gonna hold that over you because it sounds so impressive. No, I'm only joking. But telogen effluvium, what that means is, instead of your body carefully calculating and distributing when hair is supposed to fall out so it doesn't all fall at the same time, usually it's preceded by a very significant fever or an illness. And so what the COVID most likely did to you, it synchronized all your hair to where it's falling out when it shouldn't be falling out.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me give you this right here. If you've been to a doctor, you know, recently where they've done labs.
Yeah.
One of the first things that I'll look at, ma'am, is the iron levels. And so I know I'm just trying to make it sound easy to understand, but iron plays a huge, huge role in regeneration of a hair follicle. It's just is so critical. And so, for example, if a woman, let me say this. If somebody decided they were going to stop eating food that had iron in it, so they said, you know what? I think I'm never going to eat meat again. I won't consume molasses. I'll stay away from raisins and spinach or anything, or calf liver, which I know what you're thinking right now. Calf liver is the most delicious food on the planet. I agree with you.
My mother would have said that.
Well, you know what that tells me? That tells me y'all came from a generation where the parents served liver and onions because they wanted their kids to be super strong.
Well, they did. It wasn't often, but they certainly served it.
Well, and one of the things that the research is proving or bearing out, that the coronavirus or the COVID SARS-2 or the Delta variant, it really does a really good job of attacking the inner lining of your arteries and the blood and the heart. So most likely that's what's happened, but what you want is a solution. So there's two or three things that I would look at. One of the simplest ones without an examination is just to say, okay, what can we do to feed and nourish the hair? Mm-hmm. There's an herb called organic horsetail. I did not call anyone a horsetail or a horse's tail. I just said that's the name of the herb. And I think I've been to some of the nurseries before, and they actually sell the plant. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a decorative, I don't want to call it a shrub, but you put it in it. To me, it's pretty. It's got kind of a purplish color to it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I like any plant that looks purplish, like sage, or like if you're walking through the woods and you go, man, this grass is kind of purple color. That's cool. Always think of purple as the color of royalty. Mm-hmm. You can't see what I'm looking at, but all these programs on this computer board in front of me, they're all purple. And I just think,
oh, is that right?
But anyway, there is a plant called organic horsetail. And so one of the things that your hair needs to grow is an element called silica. And the good news is silica is something that really helps strengthen a person. Now, especially if a person has had some event like you have and like I've had also, where their body has been really, really challenged. And so mm-hmm. I don't think I have to ask you, but did you experience any fatigue when you had your COVID?
Oh, extreme. It was just, I've never had anything like that.
Well, I'm so, you know what, I'm very grateful to God that he carried you through that and he saw.
Oh, yes, yes. I am too. I give him the praise for that.
So right now, what you may need is you may need to continue with your zinc supplementation. I think zinc is one of those things that's always best consumed with food. If you take a handful on an empty stomach, you're asking for maybe a little nausea or upset stomach. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Iron always plays a role, and so sometimes I get great results with hair growth just with blackstrap molasses.
Okay.
One of my I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. I've been taking 25 milligrams of zinc. Along with, and I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but quercetin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those two together, I was told they work better together. Should I up that milligram of zinc?
I don't know that you really need to. I think if you just stay the course and you're very consistent, I mean, the number one thing that depletes the body of zinc is going to be refined sugar.
Okay.
Which, you know, if I told you that you need to eat Pop-Tarts all day long and you need to drink... You know, soft drinks full of sugar. Would you like that recommendation?
Well, I know it wouldn't be good for me.
Yeah, that's it right there. And there'd be a price to pay, and you could say, that's a brilliant recommendation. Now I'm exhausted and irritable and anxious all the time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what the studies show. The more soft drinks you or the sugar you consume, you just have horrible anxiety and depression. It's just horrible. But anyway, There's an herb that I also like called tillandsia root. So in addition to the organic horsetail, which is a great source of silica, there's one called tillandsia root. Now, the reason why I'm kind of making a conversation about it is every time I pick up a bottle of it, it's like it's light as air. And I always think to myself, do they actually have anything in here? But it's made from a type of moss, and for whatever reason, I've really seen this stuff work wonders when it helps stimulate hair growth in women. So it's very safe. It's very gentle. Supposedly the world's oldest living man, I think he was a black male from Florida, and I don't remember his name. It might have been Henry or Charles. I'm so sorry. I've forgotten. But he would, every day, he would take the moss and he would pour hot water over it to make himself a tea. And that's what he gave credit to for his longevity. Now, you know what? I read lots of stories because I just enjoy learning, but I don't ever read a story where somebody says, the secret of my longevity is Camel cigarettes. That doesn't happen.
Secret
of my longevity is Pop-Tarts or Doritos. Right. Never heard those before.
No, I haven't either.
No, and so what you're dealing with is probably just a normal consequence of having your immune system and your body just hit so hard. But, you know, the question now is, what can we do that's very, very positive to help the body respond and recover and get your strength back? I mean, I was reading one of the headlines this morning. They're saying they're getting a new wave of a virus in China that's even worse than the COVID. I'm going, I think I'll read about that after the program, because right now I don't want to read anything negative. I want to focus on positive stuff.
I don't want to know about that.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
but literally, have you ever been prone to being anemic in your lifetime?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, then you're a strong woman. I mean, would you say for the most part you're really, really strong?
Well, for my age, I think so.
Would you say that you're strong-willed as far as your mental disposition or attitude?
Well, my husband would say yes on that.
You know what? He's not on the radio right now, no, so I'm not even concerned about what he thinks.
I would say yes.
And you know, that's good. And you know, I may make a slight joke out of it. We might laugh. But you know what? That's really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going, oh, mm-hmm. my word, what would I have done if they yeah. said, you're going in the fiery furnace? But those guys, man, it's a beautiful story of really trusting in God. I think it would qualify as, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
And so
what you're looking at, now, there is another technique, and I know this is going to sound horrible, but I want you to let me have a go at it, okay?
Okay.
I was looking at a picture this morning in a book that I just bought at the bookstore all about bacteria, and, you know, I just find those things so fascinating. But have you ever heard before that when a baby is growing over the 9 months that the baby's in the womb, mm-hmm. that's a sterile environment, meaning there's no bacteria?
Yeah.
Now, if you go up and press your lips against your husband's, you're smearing your bacteria all over him, and he's probably going to like it. but that's a good thing. So we have all these bacteria that cover every square inch of our body, but when a baby is growing in the womb, there's no bacteria at all. But they have this fluid that surrounds the baby, mm-hmm. and it bathes the baby, it nourishes the skin, it keeps it clean. The baby swallows it into their lungs. Actually, the lungs are filled with it right up until birth, and all of a sudden this mm-hmm. fluid called amniotic fluid comes out.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to ask you, just your humble opinion, if you had to choose one age group or one, you know, range of age that has the smoothest, silkiest, softest, most beautiful, perfect skin on the planet, who would that be? Would that be somebody that's 128 years old, or would that be a newborn baby?
Oh, newborns, definitely.
Well, please take what I'm going to say with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
A newborn baby is bathed by amniotic fluid, and that fluid is 97% pure urine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not trying to gross you out, but under normal circumstances, the urine is a highly sterile substance. I mean, if a woman had like a urinary tract infection, or if she had like a kidney infection, it would be contaminated with like E. coli and other toxic bacteria. But there's one technique that I've seen over and over again work to help regrow hair in women. And so far, I haven't seen it fail. And I'm going to change the way I'm saying it, because I know everybody's going to hear me and they're going to give me major grief come Monday. I'm going to probably have 15 messages. But it's called urea therapy, and I think that's all I'm going to say, and I'll let you figure it out. But you want your hair to grow back? So let's just drop the topic. Did you say you want to talk about hemorrhoids next? No, I'm joking.
No.
But no, this is a normal consequence. So everything that you're doing from this point forth is you're trying to nourish your body, and you're trying to get back up to speed, and you're building your reserves. And you know what? Most likely, you probably were severely depleted of your reserves just trying to contend with this.
Oh, I was.
Can I ask you maybe one or two personal questions, please?
Sure.
Did you ever become so exhausted during the COVID that you felt like, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to make it?
I honestly did, or at least I thought, is it going to be like this from now on? I really did. Because
how long did it last? I mean, the severe fatigue.
It was probably, I'd say nearly 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Did you have any trouble with either your heart or your lung or your intestines or your nerves or anything like that?
Well, we made two or three trips to the emergency room.
What did they do?
Well, they took chest x-rays.
Were you having a hard time breathing or coughing or anything?
I had quite a bit of coughing, and then I received a cough medicine which had codeine in it, which did not help at all.
Oh, you brilliant plan by the... You know what? I could drop a bomb on them right now, because I'll tell you momentarily after you get off the air what happened to me. But anyway, so did they find that you were dehydrated?
Yes, I got fluids. And I was trying to drink liquids, but I absolutely had zero appetite. Anything at all took too much energy.
Well, do you feel like you're back to 100% now?
I would say, if not 100%, at least 98% for energy.
Praise
God. I'm
still
finding a few leftovers. I call them COVID leftovers.
Do you ever just catch yourself saying, I better go sit on the couch just for 5 minutes, rest, and then I'll get back up and go at it again?
No, I'm tired at the end of my day, but that's just normal. I should.
Well, if you're working, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, and I'm still working, and so when I come in at the end of the day, I sit down, I'm very tired. But I was before COVID too, so I just call that natural tiredness from working hard.
Well, I appreciate you so much sharing just some of the details of what you went through, and you know what, I'm very sympathetic. But I want your health to be radiant so you can do everything that God has designed you to do while you're walking the earth.
Yes, I do too, Dr. Morgan.
All right. Well, thank you for your phone call.
Thank you so much for your program.
You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
I'm so glad I could take it too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I think I cut her off too soon. Please forgive me. It's kind of weird. The phone system is working. Way to go, JP. You get an A-plus on your report card, buddy. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. I have a question. It seems like every time the weather changes, I get somewhat of a sinus infection, and it always seems to be on the left side of my face. My ear will start itching, and then I become really stopped up. But it always seems like when the weather changes, either if it becomes rainy or cold.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm making a horrible joke, but do you remember the comic strip called The Far Side?
No.
Well, it shows three older men sitting on the porch of a cabin up in the mountains. And one of the men says, I can tell a storm is coming. It'll be here in 6 hours because my right knee is swollen, and it shows his knee the size of a basketball, which I'm not trying to make you laugh, but it was kind of funny. And the next man says, boys, you're totally wrong. It's going to be here in 2 hours. I can tell because my nose is swollen. It shows like a nose the size of a cantaloupe. And then the next man said, boys, both of you are wrong. It'll be here in 30 minutes, and I can tell by the anyway. They're just trying to say when there's a barometric pressure change. And you know what? That's kind of why it makes that funny, because it is reality. And so when there's a barometric pressure change, not only is there a change in the atmosphere, but it is challenging different systems in your body. In your case, it's your sinuses. Now, if it's on the left side, I'm just going to tell you what I think. Most likely you have a low-grade infection. Now, low-grade is just my terminology. Probably nobody else is going to use it, but that's just the way I think of it. If you had a raging infection in your sinuses and you had a fever of 104.5 degrees and you were miserable, would you say that's kind of significant? You might want to go get some medical help. But in your case, when you have these issues, do you ever feel like, oh my goodness, I've got to run to the hospital right now?
No, I do feel tired. Of course, that pressure, you know, that really bothers me. And sometimes, you know, when I have to blow my nose, I will have some green discharge.
Well, and that's an indication there's an infection.
Right.
And so I'm, okay, go ahead.
But it's just so weird. I mean, the weather just changed, you know, when it rained the other day, and that now
I know,
it's cold.
But do you know what this really means? It just means that the tissues that line your sinuses are weak and vulnerable, and what we got to do is get them stronger.
Okay.
And so let me just say some simple things here. The reason that vitamin A, which is a fat-soluble vitamin, is called vitamin A is because it's called the anti-infective vitamin. And so, and it may be, and that's where if you kind of look at a person's diet and you find out all they're eating is just hamburgers and french fries all day long, and they're drinking Cokes and eating sugar, and you ask them about eating vegetables and they say no, and you ask them if they ever eat cranberries or blueberries or cherries or pomegranates, and they go no, and then you ask them if they drink water and they say no, and they say, I eat a lot of Hershey Kisses. I hear chocolate's good for you. And you start to figure out that, you know what, they're eating a boatload of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And I've been guilty of that here lately.
Well, and you know what? No one's judging you. I'm just kind of giving you information. And so if you've got a problem One of the ways you get rid of infection is by starving the sucker out. You can't technically say, I'm going to take echinacea and golden seal to help, or garlic to kill the infection. You can do that, but if you're feeding it massive amounts of sugar, and that's just where I would say, all right, you're feeding the bacteria all the food they want, and you're trying to kill them at the same time? How's that going to work? Well, we know it doesn't. And so one of the simplest things I could tell you is if you found yourself consuming a little bit more natural vitamin A, where would you get that from? Well, you can get it from a sweet potato or collard greens or spinach or, you know, cantaloupe or tomatoes. And so when you eat high amounts of vitamin A foods, what I always see, a person is more resilient against infections. Now, I know I'm kind of going on a side topic, so please forgive me, but there is an element that the human body requires. It's called iodine. And I think iodine is named after the Greek goddess Iodes, because when they take iodine and burn it in flame, it's got a purple color to it, which I haven't done that experiment yet, but man, I want to see that purple color. That would rank right up there as fun for me. But iodine, typically, if you like to eat stuff like salmon or fish from the ocean, or you like to... Probably you love to wrap your apples and peanut butter up in kelp before you eat them. No, I'm just joking. But when you consume anything from the ocean, you typically get more iodine. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so the other thing that you would see is the skin needs an incredible amount of iodine to be able to maintain its integrity. And so the mucus line membranes do also. But every single white blood cell that you have that's fighting that infection in your left sinus or nose, it is supposed to carry about 40 times more iodine than just about any other cell in the body, maybe except the thyroid and the breast tissue in a woman. And so you may need a little bit of iodine. Now, let me just tell you what happened the other day. I had a husband and wife come to see me, and he said, I'm miserable. If I even go outside, my allergies flare up, and you know what? I've got to mow this time of year. And he was just saying, man, I can't breathe. I try sleeping sitting up in a chair. I wake up every so often congested. So his main issue is he's saying he's having allergic response to all the different types of pollen and dust from goat weed and just, you know, you name, mountain cedar, you name it. Whatever's in the air, his body has an adverse reaction to it. Now, the wife was a different problem. Her issue was she's saying, hey, Roy, I get sinus infections like every 10 days or every 2 weeks, no matter what, twice a month. It doesn't matter what I do. I can take antibiotics, but the sinus infections, they keep coming. Now, I know I'm making this sound very simple, and it's not meant to be a panacea conversation, but there is an amino acid called N-acetylcysteine. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
Well, I'm not going to say it's widely available because I ran out on Monday. I usually keep a huge, healthy stockpile of it because I use it all the time. And it's actually one of the most beneficial compounds that I could use with any human being to help improve their health. But there's been a huge shortage of it because people have been using it up like crazy. And you know what the truth of the matter is? If a human being takes N-acetylcysteine, that means I want to help myself. And the other thing that means is they may not be totally pleased with all the drugs and the medicines they're given by the medical profession. So you know what? I'm not going to complain if a person wants to take responsibility for their health and say, I think I'd like to take some N-acetylcysteine. Now, I do not remember exactly the dose. It was either one or two or three capsules of N-acetylcysteine that both the husband and wife took. Now, these, it was 900 milligrams a day. By the way, I haven't finished my story. My next shipment is estimated to get to my office on December the 5th because there's such a high demand and shortage for it. So, but you know what? I'll be glad if they ship it before then because I can use it. Guess what? The husband.
How do you spell that?
Well, N-acetylcysteine is just a capital letter N.
Okay.
And then usually there's just like a little hash mark there. And then the word acetyl is going to be A-C-E, like ace, T-Y-L. That's acetyl.
Okay.
And I'm spelling it on a sheet of paper as I speak. And cysteine is going to be C-Y-S-T-I-E-N-E. I think, or maybe it's E before I. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, it's I before E, except after C. I think it's T-E-I-N-E. I need to remember my English class. I had an English professor come see me from the university come see me this week. And I said, are you going to get your red pen out and start slashing and marking everything? And she said, yes, I am. I'm going, okay, I deserve it. Anyway, so N-acetylcysteine, I want to say the dose they were taking, these were 900-milligram capsules, but here's the punchline. He tells me about 2 weeks after starting, he goes, dude, I have no more allergies. I'm going, okay, I'm liking that a lot. So N-acetylcysteine is a very healing agent. Guess what the wife told me? No more sinus infections. I don't even know what it's like anymore. So it was really a home run for both of them. And wouldn't you say that's like pretty good feedback they kind of offered me?
Yes. So do you take it indefinitely, or you just take it during a few weeks?
Let me give you a heads up on this. Mm-hmm. There is a substance that's produced by a healthy liver and a healthy body called glutathione. And there's a lot of people that feel like, as far as research and scientists and people really in the know, that glutathione is absolutely the most potent antioxidant that's produced in your body. Now, I have a book filled with research. I think I bought it for like a dollar at a garage sale, which I love it. But in the research, it shows literally every disease that you do not want to have. One of the relationships is you got a glutathione deficiency. And so when a human takes N-acetylcysteine and they swallow it orally, what you're doing is you're really making it super, super easy for your body to do its job, and that's make more glutathione. I'm kind of asking myself the question, hey, Roy, is it possible to have too much glutathione? I don't know the answer to that, and I'm sort of joking and teasing, but this is a natural substance that your body makes, and so what you're doing by taking N-acetylcysteine is you're really helping your body help itself, from the immune system to the heart to the brain. I mean, that's just the world we're living in. There's going to be free radicals and toxins everywhere. If you can't get rid of them and neutralize them, then guess what they're going to do? They're going to start to do wear and tear on your body. And see, that's the problem with an infection. I mean, person after person I see, here's what they tell me. I'm exhausted all the time, Dr. Morgan. I can't ever seem to get well. And then after you get them to a point where they no longer have the infection, they go, oh my goodness, it's like a burden's been lifted. I actually have energy now. I'm going, yeah, your body is not using all its resources dealing with a chronic low-grade infection. How do you like that? They go, I love it. Mm-hmm. And so it depends to answer your question. If you're in great, great radiant health, it may be that you just take a little bit of N-acetylcysteine every so often. That's all you need. But if you're struggling with a health problem, and I'm just going to make up some right here. Let's just say you have, on some level, cardiovascular disease, or you got like chronic high blood pressure, or you're just real weak and you can't heal, or you got diabetes, or you have cancer. Oh, my goodness. You're going to need some N-acetylcysteine. And, you know, the thing of it is, I don't think I'm this way, and you just tell me your opinion on the matter, because you've listened to me more than one time, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay. Do I ever just get on the radio and try to overpromise the moon and stars to everybody and overdeliver? I don't think I do. I think I'm really reasonable. So I'm really trying to tell you the truth of the matter. But for the most part, what would happen if you start taking N-acetylcysteine and maybe some whole food vitamin A and vitamin C just to see if it helps rebuild the tissues of your sinuses where you don't even react anymore to a pressure change or a front or cold weather or rain?
Oh, it would be wonderful. Because I'm like that man. I'm sleeping up in a recliner right now.
Well, I'm real sympathetic to you, and I hate that. But you know what? It always comes down to, what are we going to do to change this equation? So if you would consider these, the other thing that I would just tell you, this is not meant to attack anybody, even though I know I can be a jerk at times, but sometimes I have people, and I'm being serious about this, but they look at me and say, Dr. Morgan, I have no idea why I have these horrible, horrible health problems and why they won't go away. And I said, well, do you have a guess? And they say, no, I just don't understand it. And I'm going, well, you're eating sugar all day long, and you're not eating any vegetables, and you don't have any nutrients, and you're severely anemic. What do you think about that? And they go, I still don't understand. I'm going, okay, let me make it simple. you're eating about the crappiest diet I've ever heard of, but you expect great results with your health? No. This is an indication that you might want to modify what you're doing and what you're eating. And you know what? I kind of do this all day long, and you know, I don't want to be a jerk, but I mean, can you agree with what I'm saying? If you want to have radiant health, you might want to put good stuff that's alive in your body. You know what sugar is? It is dead, dead, dead. Now, I know it's unrealistic to tell a person never eat sugar again, but you know what? There's a lot of people that have so much inflammation in their brain, and they have so many problems in their body, they might actually benefit from a longer-term vacation from sugar and from grains that convert into sugar and from soft drinks and from candy and treats and, you know, just keep adding to the list. Give your body a vacation. You've had a lifetime eating sugar. You want to heal? And so what it does, you come down to, do you want to heal more than you want to stay where you are right now? And there's a lot of people. And you know what? I understand it. Sugar is like the most addictive stuff of all time. You might as well call it crystal meth.
Yep.
So if you were to get the Simply Saline nasal spray with eucalyptus and really work that, that's going to help you.
Okay.
You can just get that over the counter. I want to say it costs $7. Unless you buy a bottle that's been used at a garage sale. I'm joking. Don't do that. That's like buying used undergarments. Not going to do that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help.
You're welcome.
The compound, the nine, you take 9 milligrams of it?
No, it was a 900 milligram capsule, and I think that's the dose that I use. You know what, the phrase, more, you know, bigger is better and more is better, it doesn't always apply, but in this case, you know, when someone's got severe allergies and they've got infections in their sinuses, it is definitely worth a try. You know what's the worst thing you could tell me? I don't think I've ever heard of one person ever being rushed to the emergency room.
Okay.
Because they had a severe reaction. Emporium? What now?
Can you get it at Drug Emporium?
You're going to have to try somewhere. There's been a super high demand, so you know what that means.
Yeah.
You may not. Okay. So you're going to have to look around or maybe even online. I can tell you one of the big companies is called Amazon.com. You've probably never heard of it.
Oh, I've heard of it. But
well, they stopped selling it because the Food and Drug Administration convinced them it was really a drug. But the drug was called Mucomist, and I think it was released in either 1961 or 1962. I know when I say 1961, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about because you were born in 2001.
I wish.
So anyway, so they classify it. But the reason that N-acetylcysteine was called Mucomist is because it was very good at breaking up all the mucus and all the congestions anywhere along the respiratory tract. So whether a person has sinuses or a throat that's just all jacked up or tonsils or they've got severe bronchitis or laryngitis or even pneumonia, N-acetylcysteine is a natural compound that helps break all that junk up. Now, to me, I'm going, thank you so much, Lord. You were so good to us, giving us things like this. So, if you want to help yourself, consider N-acetylcysteine.
I will do. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Man, I am so thankful to you, JP, for fixing the phone system right here. Now I can actually take phone calls, and this is fun. If you want to join me on the air, 903-586-5257. And there's a phone line open. But you know what? If nobody wants to call, I get to talk about what I want to talk about, right? Okay. Let me have a go at this right here. Oh, somebody's trying to call. I guess I have to answer now. Okay, here we go. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Well, great. Thank you for your phone call.
Oh, thank you for taking it.
I have
two questions.
Oh, two. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. Number one, I just found out Friday. I'm 68. My husband's 66. I just found out Friday from my doctor that I have diabetes.
Yeah.
It runs in my family. And then my husband...
Well, let me tell you something real quick. It runs in 100% of all families. How about that?
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Well, let me tell you this. Well, I know they're saying that, and it might sound good, but if you do, I mean, if the circumstances are right, any human's going to have diabetes. No one's exempt. But anyway, go ahead.
I just need hope that it's not a death sentence for me.
It's the most important thing right now is, what are you going to do with this diabetes, and how are you going to reverse it? And I'm going to tell you how to do that.
Okay, and then with my husband, he has gallstones, and he had a doctor say, well, we'll just watch them. Well, now they're bigger.
I need to ask you a question now. How do you feel about when you have a problem and the doctor says, what I'd really like to do to deal with this very difficult health problem that you have right now and all these gallstones that are really adversely affecting your body, what my plan is to you, and please tell me what you think about this since you're my patient. I just want to watch them. How do you feel about that?
No, I know.
It's madness. I hear that phrase 5 times a day. I said, what did the doctor recommend? They said, what they want to do is they want to do a follow-up, and they just want to watch and wait. Well, have you ever heard the phrase before that action beats anxiety? Have you ever heard that? I'm just trying to say it's better to take action and move in a positive direction. So,
absolutely.
Do you want me to cover that topic of gallstones?
Yes, sir. And my diabetes, I just want you to tell me that there's hope, because it's like
you need to ignore that advice. That advice right there is just 100% ridiculous.
Hallelujah.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to be a little bit rougher on that right there.
Okay.
That's fraud. Fraud is and deception. If you want to call it malfeasance, if you want to call it bad faith, you can use all those terms you want. But it's really, that is wrong not to tell a person how to cure the diabetes, because I know that we're living, let me go backwards just for a second. When I was in chiropractic college back in the middle 80s, I had to take 2 or 3 courses called pharmacology, toxicology. And what those courses, now these were taught by real pharmacists at the school. And so they have every right to teach me any way they want to teach me. But some of the things they would say is, he says, Roy, the purpose of a drug is supposed to be very, very short term until you can address all the reasons why a person has diabetes. And then once you correct them, the body will heal. Now, do you believe that God designed the body to heal?
Yes.
Okay. About 4 years ago, there was a study that came out, and this was the title of a study. It really caught my attention. It's like, which diet reverses diabetes? And it may even said cure in one of the... And I'm going, man, do they know what they're doing? And so what they did was they looked at the American Heart Association diet for diabetes and their recommendations, and then the Dietetic Association, and then the diabetes, and... They probably used the FEMA recommendations. I just made that up. That's not true. But they looked at the top 12 diets, and I'm just going to be blunt and honest with you. None of them worked. And it's been proven over and over again. My father was a drug salesman for 30 years for Abbott Laboratories. And let me just break it down for you. Drug companies, they want customers for life. Another way of saying that is they don't ever want you getting off drugs. So if you have to take a drug that costs $685 per prescription, they don't care if you're broke and you don't have money. They want it. They don't want you getting well. You know what
right.
I want? I want you to get well. What do you want? You want to get well.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And so
I
in
want
the,
hope that I can
well,
I can reverse it.
I'm just going to tell you what they did to reverse the diabetes. There were about 427 people in the study.
Okay.
And they were matched up, and what they were, they put the difficult, non-compliant people, the ones that would not comply with the diet, into one category. That's category number 13. So they had the top 12 diets in the universe to heal the body. And let me just tell you, none of that stuff works. But the 427 people that were non-compliant with these medical diets, what they did was they said, you know what? This ain't working. It had never worked. And so we're going to do what we think's going to work. And you know what they did? Number one, they skipped breakfast. And everybody knows that's a big no-no. That's the most important meal of the day. But what you do is, if you had your first meal, say at 11 a.m. in the morning, and you could call it brunch if you wanted to. I don't care if you eat two scrambled eggs and two strips of uncured bacon and two forkfuls of sauerkraut. I like it. If you want some shredded fermented beets and an avocado, that's fine.
My husband makes homemade kombucha.
You know what? I like him more and more the more I hear about him. It's great. And so, you know what? I recommended kombucha to a person even before 6 o'clock this morning. I'm going, it'd be a good idea for you to take your kombucha. Anyway, I get calls nonstop, but I love it, though. This is what God has me here for.
Amen.
But if you just ate two meals a day, if you had like an early lunch and you had an early evening meal of mainly meat and vegetables, that's the number one diet to get rid of the diabetes, because the longer you go without eating, the lower your insulin, which is exactly the opposite of what endocrinologists do. The endocrinologist says, hey, eat whatever you want. If you want Snickers, we can put you on an insulin pump. We can give you 300 units of insulin, Humalog, whatever you want. That ain't right. Because what you're doing is, diabetes is diabolical. It will destroy a person. But I'm so thankful that you've got a good attitude. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to recommend that you start walking twice a day. And let me tell you one of my failure cases, because I live in reality. I had a woman come to see me, and she was pre-diabetic, not diabetic, but I think she was averaging around 121, 122, which is pretty close on her blood sugar, I meant to say. And she said, listen, I've got to do something. I can't do this any longer. And she told me, I think I'm 5'1½", and I think she weighed like 189 pounds. So that's just a reference point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told her, you got to skip breakfast, eat two meals a day, make it meat and vegetables. If you want a big salad and you want to put chicken or beef or eggs in it, that's fine, or fish, that's fine by me. And so the other part was, I said, the only way that you can really reset the insulin receptor sites on your cells and muscles is by walking and exercise. And so now she had some other issues too. She was like drinking some diet soft drinks, and I had to kind of give her a hard sales pitch not to do that. But I'm just being honest with you. The very first month was really a failure. When she called me back on the phone, she said I hadn't made any progress, and so when I questioned, and maybe I didn't, wasn't strong enough, I don't know. But you know what? It's a person's responsibility. I'll tell them the truth. They got to do it. So the next month, she said, okay, I get it. I'll do it. And so what she did was she walked twice a day. I don't know if it was morning and evening, but that's what I would assume. And she said, can I just do this video called Walk Away the Pounds and do it in front of my TV? I said, sure. And when
Seriously?
The weather... What now?
Seriously? Just
yeah.
Walk away the pants on a...
Well, I think that's what she did. And if the weather was nice, I think she lives on like 30 or 40 acres. So she'd say, you know, I just got to walk around the pasture. I'm going perfect. And so she called me back. She said, you're not going to believe this. I have lost 23 pounds on the scales in 1 month. I'm going... Oh, maybe there are some principles that if we apply them to us, they will work. And so I know that's kind of comical, but you know.
No, but I love it. It gives me hope.
Well, good.
Because the enemy surely doesn't.
No. What does the enemy want to do? They want to totally deceive
to say,
you.
It's over. When I found out Friday, it was like, your life is over. You're done.
You know what? That was the enemy, and they want you to believe that. But you know what? That is not the truth. That's not the whole story. So your new story is,
okay,
I am going to practice the principles of fasting. I'm not going to eat breakfast, and what I'm going to do is, that's going to make my insulin need go down, down, down. Now, let me tell you what you're going to do here.
Okay.
You're going to make a lot of drug companies very, very upset with you, because they're not going to think that what you're doing is right for them.
Okay.
Now, is that where your allegiance needs to be, or is your allegiance to yourself and your husband? No. So if you can do those things, that's going to get you moving in the right direction. There's one particular herb called gymnema. So if you've ever been to the gym before, that's spelled G-Y-M.
Yeah.
And then the second half of the word is NEMA. N-E-M-A. So it's just one word, Gymnema.
Okay.
Gymnema might be actually one of the most fabulous singular herbs that I've ever used to restore the pancreas and heal it. So, and there's more, but that's a starting point. Now with your husband and gallstones.
Now, he has been to you before, and when, so he got some beets, and he's starting that again, but we've had someone tell us that, oh, it's going to take surgery, they're too big, they're going to have to cut you open.
Oh, of course, they're right. Every, you know what, when the COVID hit, all the hospital workers said, man, this COVID is killing us. I said, how so? Well, our bread and butter is making huge profits off of doing gallbladder surgeries. And we haven't been able to do it, so our income is way, way down this month. I'm going, oh, do you want me to feel sorry for you? I don't. So, yeah, you can believe whatever you want. Anybody can. But let me just break it down.
Okay.
The hardest foods on the gallbladder are going to be any pork products.
Don't do that.
Well, do you ever say, sweetheart, let's go for our daily serving of dripping onion rings from the fast food restaurant?
No.
Okay, good. Most likely your husband has some food that he's eating, and yes, I can look up studies that show the more refined food, the more refined sugar that a man consumes, the more he's prone to gallstones forming.
He doesn't do sugar anymore.
Okay, good. Well, then, most likely the gallstones are 15 to 20 years old or older than that. They've just been there a while. And so it's now a question of what can we do to help assist the body in getting rid of them? Now, I realize I may play both sides of the equation, but I really think I'm being accurate with you. I am in love with a fruit called a lemon.
Yeah.
I don't mean the lemon juice that you get in a bottle at the store that's on the shelf, because that stuff's dead. And a fresh lemon juice is so incredibly advantageous, but lemon juice with dandelion root tea and unfiltered apple juice, and maybe one whole beet and olive oil, those are so good at helping to break up and dissolve the gallstones and the sludge. But the other thing is, most likely, your husband has a very weak biliary tree, and it needs to be strengthened. And there's just no other way to do it but then just to do the diligence and the work to get better. So, just like I mentioned the story about the woman that walked twice a day. I mean,
he's very diligent.
Okay, good.
He puts me to shame.
Does he do that on purpose to make you look bad?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's such an awesome man of God.
I like him.
He is. And he's been to see you before, and we both need to get in.
Well, when did he see me?
I forgot.
Well, was it in 2021, or?
No, it's been a few years ago, so he...
Well, did I just see him one time, or what was the deal?
Maybe a couple of times, but my husband follows through with what you say.
Well, if he still has gallstones, there may be other options that we need to consider to help his body expel them. Now, that would be what I would like. If his body would reject, eject, kick out, get rid of, dissolve the gallstones where he could pass them without knowing it, that's what you want.
Yes, yes.
And so there's room for improvement.
Okay. Well, right. He's willing to do it. So do we just make an appointment to come see you?
If you want me to thoroughly try to find out and break down what's going on, yes, that's the absolute answer. That way I at least have a chance to examine him thoroughly and figure it out.
Okay.
Good deal. Thank you so much.
We'll just make an appointment, and thank you for
your help. You're welcome. I enjoyed talking to you. And you know what? Don't let the enemy lie to you. You're going to tell yourself the truth. God designed the body to heal, but what am I going to do to help myself? And that's where your solution.
Yes, yes.
There you go. Good job.
All right. Well, Lord bless you, and thank you.
Oh, thank you. I hope you have a great weekend, and blessings upon you likewise.
You make me want to dance. Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Now, when you say dance, do you mean disco dancing?
No. Let's try line dancing and every other kind.
Hey, I want your husband to feel so great that he says, sweetheart, I'm taking you square dancing tonight, whether you want to or not.
Oh, that would be a challenge for me.
Well, we'll do line dancing then. Thank you, ma'am.
We'll start with that. Okay.
Good deal.
Lord
bye-bye.
Bless you and thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye. Okay. All right. I just cleared the phone line. There is another phone line open. There's approximately, really, I don't even know how much time is left in the program. I better look at it real quick. Okay, JP, where's your message about the time that I'm supposed to? Okay, 57:55. There's 7 minutes left. I'm so glad I looked that up. If you want to join me on the air, if you have a question or comment, please let me know. And you know what? I really appreciate what that woman said. We're literally, every day of your life, you're faced with things that are not true, and then you're faced with the truth. And quite often, when you're faced with the truth, it comes down to, what am I going to do? And you know, it's a sad situation, the world that we live in. You're really, really rewarded to be a victim. And I realize everybody has a point in their life that things don't go right. But I can tell you right now, being a victim ain't it. You're not a victim. You may want to be a victim and say, this is helpless, all I can do is rely on medicine. That is not even close to what the truth is. So what if a person says, you know what, I have decided not to believe that I have to be on 100 different medications for my heart, and you start the process of saying, what can I do to help myself? If that leads you to buying books where you can educate yourself and come up with new ideas or get maybe a different person's opinion or call somebody like me on KBJS on Saturday morning to find out, do I have any options? I promise you, you have more options than you can shake a stick at. But it really takes a can-do attitude where you just have to block out the lies from people. I know that sounds harsh, but I hear this stuff every single day. And so the example that we used a while ago, you've got a problem, we're going to watch and wait. I don't like that plan. Do you like that plan? Is that exactly what you want your physician or healthcare professional tell you? You got a serious problem and they want to say, let's watch and wait. No. Every day that you're alive, it could be a day of training or improvement, or you decide, you know what? If I've got gallstones, what I think I'm really going to do here is I'm going to start eating foods that have been shown to help gallstones go away. One of those foods would be fresh lemon juice. I really don't care if a person takes 2 lemons a day and squeezes 1 lemon into a cup of dandelion root tea. Or if somebody takes a blender and they take 1 whole beet and pulverize it and they put 10 ounces of unfiltered apple juice, which unfiltered apple juice contains an enzyme called pectinase, and that has been shown to break down gallstones, okay, over time. And the thing of it is, I've done this about every different way that you can think of. I usually do not recommend gallbladder or liver flushes if the bile duct is super, super irritated and inflamed. And that's pretty easy to check out. So if you push in a person's bile duct and they scream and try to pull their 357 Magnum from their hip and point at you and say, Dr. Morgan, don't do that again, I'll shoot you. I'm thinking that may have hurt just a little bit. Yeah, you gotta try to help the body to heal itself. But one of the problems with the gallstones and diabetes is literally the body has lost its ability to manage inflammation. I don't know if you've heard this definition before, but I really, really like it. Dr. Russell Jaffe, who used to be an immunologist at the National Institutes of Health, so I'm sure he knows Anthony S. Fauci very well. let me get off that topic. Dr. Jaffe would say the most precise, and I like it. He says the best definition of inflammation is what? Repair deficit. So when you hear the word repair deficit, what does that mean to you? That means your body is not working the way it should. So whether you have a food allergy, which is extremely common with gallstones, if you continue to eat the food that causes inflammation in your liver, or generates a problem in your immune system, and that in turn causes inflammation of the liver or the gallbladder or the bile ducts. Until you stop eating that food, the gallstones may not ever go away. So it helps to figure that out. But if I touch a person's bile duct and it hurts, they've got inflammation. And so you've got to come to terms with, there are some foods that are so pro-inflammatory, it's just unbelievable. You know what one of them is? It's sugar. I don't know if you know this, but just about every single restaurant here in town in Jacksonville, I won't use any other towns as an example because I'm here in Jacksonville every day of the week just about, but when you consume massive amounts of sugar, you're making it really, really hard for your body to be in great working order. Let me give you a couple examples. Sugar by its very nature is just very, very acidic on the pH scale. And I don't know if you've heard this either, but your body does everything it can. And I'm just going to say two specific organ systems, and really three, but I'll just say this. Your kidneys are one of the most sophisticated, elegant inventions and all of creation. It's amazing what the kidneys do. But one of the main things they do is they try to keep your pH balanced. Now, in the blood, the normal pH is supposed to be slightly alkaline. I think usually the range they're looking for medically is going to be 7.35 to 7.45. So if the pH of 7 is a neutral pH, it's neither really alkaline or it's not acid, your body really wants to be slightly alkaline when it comes to the blood. And the blood is one of the most major unique organ systems in the body. And so if you're shoveling high, high acid food in your body, and I know this is not going to be popular, but so many studies demonstrate that if you want your body to be a wreck, start drinking more than 16 ounces of coffee a day. So I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. But when you start exceeding 16 ounces of coffee a day, and I want to say that one of the studies that I looked at on coffee, now, coffee can have some good health benefits. I mean, I can find a lot of positive things, but one of the studies in particular, they looked at the arbitrary number of 24 ounces a day and above that. And it definitely showed that when you're above 24 ounces a day, you're losing minerals at a much faster rate than what you can replace them. That's just really totally true. And so in one study, they showed that if you give children coffee, a cup of coffee every day, well, when they're adults, they literally have the most fracture-ridden bones filled with osteoporosis of all time. Because when a child's in the growing years, they're supposed to be laying down rich calcium. They're supposed to run and play and be strong and athletic, and that strength carries them later in life. But if you give kids coffee, you're stripping all the alkaline ash minerals from the bones, which is not good. I think I've officially run out of time. Thank you for joining me this day. Lord willing, I will be here next Saturday. You're listening to KBJS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.